Thank you to Farmer Ed for this opportunity to share our findings and our thoughts. Over the next few minutes, we'll discuss the safety imperative, a growing demand for safety syringes in the home and hospital. Richard and I will share the platform for this presentation. We both work within Owen Mumford's Pharmaceutical Services Group, which provides drug delivery solutions to pharma companies, and we're both based at our UK headquarters just outside of Oxford. Owen Mumford's been around for nearly 70 years and in drug delivery for about 35 years, starting with innovations in the early days of insulin pens. And we're really proud to have produced well over 100 million auto-injectors in facilities like this one for some of the world's leading pharma companies. Now, we have a particular interest in safety syringes, which is what drove the original work behind this presentation. There's a related report available for download, and I can point you to that link afterwards if you're interested. Now, before we get going, I should add that any opinions in this presentation are mine or Richard's, and not necessarily those of my employer, Owen Mumford. Now, with that said, perhaps I can wake us up with a slightly provocative question. If I ask you to pick up a used hypodermic needle off the street, how would you respond? What would you do? Would you pick it up? Or would you perhaps have some choice words for me? If you did pick it up, I wonder what anxieties would be going through your mind. What nasties are on the end of that needle, perhaps? Or how can I grab it without risking pricking myself? And if you're anything like me, the more worried you are, the more likely you are you'll be to fumble and perversely heighten the risk of stabbing yourself. The prospect of exposing ourselves to a contaminated sharp is not appealing. And yet it's something that nurses and carers have been routinely exposed to. I've worked in medical devices for most of my career, and one of the earliest devices I worked with was Owen Mumford's Unistick safety lancet. It was novel at the time in that it meant that blood tests could be taken in a way that the nurse never needed to risk coming near a used sharp. That was quite a bit more than 20 years ago, and the nursing staff then understandably bit our hands off for such products. Since then, legislation has sought to extend the use of devices which protect against needle stick injury. And today, the idea of obtaining a blood sample with anything less seems, frankly, archaic. What we'll look at in these next few minutes will be the impact of that legislation in the context of subcutaneous injections. We'll look at the trends and considerations around home care, not just hospital care. And finally, what should you be aware of if you still have injectables that aren't in devices that are engineered for safety? What are the main safety syringe categories and considerations? So let's take a look at some of the defining legislation in Europe and the US. In the USA, the Needle Stick Safety and Prevention Act was signed into law on November 6, 2000 and became effective 2001. That sought to revise the OSHA standard regulating occupational exposure to bloodborne pathogens, so including things like HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. Thankfully, Hep C isn't the career-destroying curse that it was then, but it's still expensive, it's still disruptive, and there's still no vaccine. The legislation was part of a plan by the American Nurses Association and others, and following its introduction, needle stick injuries did fall by about 30%. But we're still falling short. According to the Association of Occupational Health Professionals in Healthcare, there are still 320,000 needle stick incidents per annum in the USA alone, across hospital and non-hospital settings. The CDC estimates that half of sharps injuries go unreported. OSHA reckons that 5.6 million workers in the healthcare and related occupations are at risk to bloodborne pathogens. In fact, more than half of non-hospital healthcare settings are in violation of OSHA requirements. If we turn to Europe, EU legislation was implemented much later, in 2014, and that's aimed at employers. Employers are obliged to make the appropriate provisions for healthcare staff with respect to sharps injuries. It's the employer's duty to ensure the health and safety of their workers, and that includes training and the equipment. So as you'd hope, and as in the US, compliance levels in Europe have led to a significant increase in the use of safety devices, but they still fall well short of legislated requirements. In various European nations, authorities are still serving improvement notices to employers because of a lack of compliance, and that's across acute and non-hospital settings. The most recent survey suggests that compliance in hospitals is only at 70%, and that drops to 60% when you get to the home care environment. The home care environment's worth paying attention to because there's a steady migration of healthcare from hospital to non-hospital settings. For example, just look at the fact that 2/5 of registered nurses in the US are now employed in non-hospital settings. So let's just take stock of some of those home care statistics for a moment. Less than 50% in the USA and only about 60% in Europe comply. The Coalition for Safe Community Needle Disposal estimates that 7.5 billion syringes are used in the home care setting in the USA alone every year. That's a lot of risk through the use of non-safety product. Now, there are multiple reasons for the growth in home care, and some of these won't be a surprise to you. Firstly, populations globally are ageing, and with that comes chronic morbidities. As we age, we have an increased need of care. And when we pass into retirement, our contributions into insurance and healthcare schemes drops, so the need for healthcare increases, and with smaller workforces to pay for it. That puts a huge pressure on costs, and now, of course, many economies are also reeling from the impact of COVID-19. Let's not forget that younger cohorts can also struggle with obesity, for example, then diabetes, cancers, heart disease. So for many countries, self-administration is strategically necessary and encouraged where it's practical and effective to do so. And secondly, biologics drive at-home use. The top grossing drugs are now biologics, and whilst access to these therapies might have been restricted by the relatively high cost, lower cost biologics are upon us. Between 2018 and 2020, $100 billion of biologics will have opened up to competition, and these promise to reduce cost per treatment and so potentially increasing the usage of these therapies. Of course, biologics require regular administration, making it more convenient to administer them in the home setting. And thanks to their large molecular size, they're mostly administered subcutaneously, which of course means the use of a sharp. Now, I think we're all probably aware of the regulatory need for human factors as part of any device development, and both these scenarios, aging populations and therapies associated with biologics, are associated with reduced dexterity and poor mobility. So, for example, biologics are often involved in treating literally crippling inflammatory conditions, which means self-administration at home is again preferable. That administration therefore needs to be comfortable to handle to give the patient the best chance at managing their own injections. And there needs to be recognition that there could well be a carer involved in administering the injection who might have their own needle stick injury concerns. It's important to remind ourselves that safety legislation doesn't stop at the hospital gates, either in the US or Europe. In both regions, the employer still has a legal duty to protect staff, not just in the clinic, but when outside it too, for example, visiting a patient at home. And there are reasons beyond legislation that are driving the uptake of safety devices. As we've touched on, self-administration at home is clearly the most economic therapeutic practice, and that heightens the need to consider safety outside of hospital. Staff health is also important. One would hope that the moral imperative of not putting your staff at unnecessary risk is enough, wherever they are. But even if you're being totally mercenary, we should consider that many health systems around the world, from China and India to Europe and the US, are struggling with staff shortages. The financial and economic benefit of looking after your staff, well apart from the ethical obligation, is cold, hard common sense. You can't afford to lose staff to avoidable illness. And quite frankly, an industry that isn't seen to care for its staff is hardly likely to attract new candidates. And then there's patient demand. Patients, especially with carers at home, have a vested interest in avoiding the risk of Sharpe's injury to the very carers that they depend on for their treatment and their family. So they're likely to play a role in this trend of requiring equipment which makes it easier to remain safe. And if there's a greater choice of brands through biosimilars, we could see patients putting pressure on prescribers to prescribe the safer options. All of this leads to a growth in demand for devices that make it easier to inject safely. Arguably, the simplest route is via safety syringes. So let's change gear for a moment and look at some of the device considerations around safety devices. Richard.
Great, thanks George. I'm now going to provide an insight into what a safety syringe is and some of the key considerations when choosing and developing a system. So firstly, prefilled syringes can ensure the correct drug and dose is given accurately, and they significantly reduce the risk of medical errors. They also support our amazing overburdened healthcare workers to deliver medication more rapidly and enable them to be more efficient with their time. So what are safety syringes? The purpose of a safety syringe is to make a prefilled syringe as safe as possible without changing the way the syringe is used and offer a more financially attractive system over a more expensive disposable auto-injector, for example. They enable ease of use and accuracy of the drug delivery in healthcare settings as well as in the home setting. The safety syringes are sometimes called safety engineered devices, which typically comprises a prefilled syringe. This terminology is also used for disposable auto-injectors. There has been a huge shift away from active systems to passive systems. So I'm just going to touch on active systems like the ones that are shown on the screen on the left. These require you to perform an extra step to engage and cover the needle safely. So if you've studied any patient adherence data or sat through any human factors studies, you'll appreciate you don't really want or rely on the patient to perform extra steps, especially if they're optional. So passive activation, as shown on the right, is where the market is clearly focused on. These safety syringes act just like a prefilled syringe, but become safe without any additional steps. So this is a clear steer that, you know, the market's going towards these devices, and especially with the burden on our healthcare systems currently and the need for patients who also may be less dexterous in the home care setting. So another area that I feel we should touch on are the ISO standards. So the two main device function ones are ISO 11608, needle-based injection systems for medical use, especially part one around needle-based injection systems, and ISO 23908, Sharpe's injury protection, which covers requirements and test methods for Sharpe's protection features. You also have some great FDA guidance, such as guidance on the use of international standard ISO 10993-1, which includes biocompatibility, and there's also guidance for industry on medical devices with Sharpe's injury prevention features, which also provides a host of recommendations. These are all key standards to consider for any combination product. But there are other things to consider beyond ISO and FDA guidance. The product needs to be passive, prevent reuse, so be tamper resistance, enable low dosage accuracy. It's key to have great adherence and compliance. The user must feel confident with their injection. So for example, maybe by having larger finger grips, which are ergonomic and offer more control to the user, that will enhance adherence and compliance with that product. It's also critical for pharma companies that you don't change the primary container. You need to make sure the system prevents accidental removal of the plunger rod, so drug is not wasted. You don't want anything to get in the way of a patient not receiving their drug. So you don't want the device to activate accidentally before they've even used the device. patients only feel better if they've taken the medication successfully. And another point is we need to serve our amazing healthcare workers and patients by providing robust sharps protection. I'll now pass the baton back to George.
Thank you, Richard. Given the relative ease of providing safety through a safety syringe, it's perhaps no surprise to see that demand for products like these will increase. For example, one analyst predicts growth to be at around 9% per annum in the 5 years to 2023. And although we focus largely on the impact of Western legislation today, these trends are global. For example, we expect growth in India to be double the number I just mentioned, more like 19%. And this will take us to a point where more than 3/4 of prefilled syringes are in a safety device, such as an auto-injector or perhaps more commonly a safety syringe. And this dominance would suggest that pharmaceutical and biotech firms generally consider safety features to be attractive and are favouring their use as a key element for combination products. So, where does this all leave us? We started with a focus on the need to comply with legislated safety requirements, and it's now 2 decades since the needle stick and sharp safety legislation was implemented in the USA, and more than 6 years since the equivalent was implemented in the EU. And in fact, there are a number of additional drivers behind safety engineered devices becoming mainstream. The protection of healthcare workers is important economically as well as legally, even when they're in the home care setting. And the growth in that home care setting itself has a number of drivers: economic pressures on healthcare efficiency, the continued use of biologics, which again drives regular self-injection, and the onslaught of new competitive pressures from biosimilars. And then there's just the general growth in demand due to aging and populations getting older. So there are legal, ethical, and commercial imperatives for providing injectables in devices that help to protect against contaminated sharps injury. And if you haven't fully adopted safety engineered devices yet, the good news is that it doesn't have to be overly complex or costly. So there's some way to go, but progress is being made, and our industry can play a role in how quickly our carers and families are protected. Thank you. One final note, actually, as I said at the beginning, if anything in this talk grabbed your interest, you might like to read the report we generated. You can find it on our website at ompharmaservices.com, or drop me a note at george.irons@ompharmaservices.com.